Our scripture passage for this morning comes from 2 Chronicles. I'll be reading 2 Chronicles 31, verses 4 through 10. Listen now for God's holy word. King Hezekiah commanded the people to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, so that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the word spread, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought it in abundantly, the tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought the tithe of cattle and sheep, the tithe of dedicated things that had been consecrated to the Lord their God, and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the officials came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and said to, and they blessed the Lord and the Lord's people. Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps, and the chief priest Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, saying, "Since they have begun to bring in their contributions to the house of the Lord, we have had enough and have plenty to spare, for the Lord has blessed his people." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Around 700 years before Jesus' time, a new king arose over the kingdom of Judah. The story of King Hezekiah can be found in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. And this week I've been reading this story, and I've been amazed at how richly God has spoken to me and how richly I believe God is speaking to all of us this morning through a portion of King Hezekiah's story. When King Hezekiah took over as king over Judah, there were a lot of issues, a lot of problems in his kingdom. And we too are living in a time of great difficulty. We are living nearly 2 years into a pandemic, which continues to affect our lives in every way. And we are tired. We are tired and getting more and more tired. Our nerves are getting frayed. Our patience is wearing thin. Every little slight becomes magnified, and it is becoming harder and harder to be the kind and loving people who we want to be and who we know God has called us to be. For the past few years, frustrations and disappointments and troubles, setbacks and sorrows of all kinds have piled up on top of another. And truly, we are living through difficult, difficult times. In Hezekiah's time, there were many difficulties facing him and the people of his kingdom. In part, the good and proper worship of God had been long disregarded in his kingdom. God had given God's people the law, which had in it instructions for the right times and the right places and the right ceremonies for God's people to use to worship God. And God had also helped the kings of Israel, notably King Solomon, to build a fantastic place, a fantastic temple in Jerusalem, where God's people could gather together to have celebrations, festivals, to give thanks to God, to sing and to pray, to make their offerings and to worship. By Hezekiah's time, God's people had turned away from the good worship of God, which God had given them, and they had disregarded the practice of worshiping in God's temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem, I've never been to Jerusalem, but I know it had an open ceiling, you know, it was open to the sky. So in my mind, when I think about Hezekiah's temple, when he first became king, I think of weeds, you know, growing up through the cracks and the rocks and things like that. You know, it was disregarded. Worship was just not happening in Jerusalem. And worse than worship not happening in the temple in Jerusalem, it was also in disrepair, and it was full of idols and altars to lesser gods. All throughout the kingdom of Israel, people had built their own altars to lesser gods and idols, and worship was just in a terrible state in the kingdom. And so when Hezekiah became king, the project that he took on, the project that he started with when he first became king, was the project of restoring the right worship of God in his kingdom. It was like Hezekiah took out the law of Moses and it had been left forgotten on the shelf for a long time. And he took it out, and just like a scene in an Indiana Jones movie, he held it there and he blew the dust off the cover and he opened it up and he said, all right, what do we need to do? What does it mean to worship God well and right here in this place? And so Hezekiah went about restoring worship. First, he gathered together the leaders that he would need. He called for and found and assembled back together the Levites and the priests, and he asked them to make themselves ready. He told them to make themselves ready to do the work that God had prescribed for them to do according to the law. Next, Hezekiah went about repairing and cleaning out the temple. He called for all of the altars and the idols of the lesser gods to be kicked out of the temple. And he restored the doors of the temple, and he made sure that everything inside was in its proper place. And then, when he had the people he needed and the place that he needed, Hezekiah and his officials modeled and practiced the good and right worship of God. The king and his officials held a worship service. They came to the temple, bringing their offerings, in this case, animals to sacrifice, and the newly prepared and ready priests and Levites took those offerings. They led in worship through music and songs. They sang the songs of King David, we are told, and the ceremonies unfolded, and the king and his officials, they bowed down and they worshiped and they prayed to God according to God's law for the first time in anyone's memory. And at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we are told that it worked. You know, we're told that the worship of God was restored in Israel. The worship of God was restored there in the temple. The king was where he needed to be. The temple was in a state that it should be. The priests and the Levites were doing their work. The offerings were coming in. The prayers and the songs were being given to God. And the worship of God was restored. Well, King Hezekiah didn't stop there. Having restored worship for himself and for his officials, Hezekiah then made a plan to bring that good and right worship of God to all of the people of the kingdom of Israel. Hezekiah decided to host a celebration of God's gift of salvation. Hezekiah decided to celebrate Passover as it was described and commanded in the law of Moses. And so Hezekiah went about making all of the preparations he would have needed. To celebrate Passover with all of God's people, Hezekiah needed more priests and more Levites. And so he went out and he found them and started gathering them together and getting those priests and Levites ready to do their work. But then there was a problem. By the time enough priests and Levites had been found and made ready for the celebration, it was already too late. Passover is a festival that is supposed to be observed in the first month of the year. And by the time Hezekiah had everybody he needed ready for the celebration, it was already a month too late. It was the second month of the year. And it's an interesting point in this story that Hezekiah could have given up at this point. He could have looked at the lateness of his plans and he could have said, this isn't going well. I thought this would be a great idea. It's not working. We're a month behind schedule. Forget about it. You know, it's just not working. But he didn't quit. He didn't quit. Instead, he talked to the priests and the Levites, he talked to his officials, and he said, should we just celebrate a month late? And they said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go ahead with these plans. Let's celebrate, even though our celebration is late. So next, Hezekiah sent out invitations. He sent out invitations to this wonderful party, this wonderful celebration that he was planning in the temple in Jerusalem. And the people of Israel, as I said, they were out of the practice of worshiping God in the right ways. And so Hezekiah sent out messengers, couriers, essentially apostles, into all of his kingdom. They went to every place in the kingdom, all the far reaches of the kingdom, every place where God's people dwell. They went to every town and village to say, the king has reestablished the worship of God in the temple in Jerusalem, and he wants you to come and celebrate the Passover. Come, bring your hearts, bring your offerings, bring yourself to the celebration. Come, bring your prayers, experience God's grace, experience the blessings of this celebration. And when the couriers did this, when they went through every town in Israel, bringing this message of good news that the king had reestablished worship, that people could come before God. We're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 that the people listened to the invitation, and in response, they laughed and they scorned the messengers and they mocked them. The king sent out an invitation to this wonderful, beautiful thing that he was doing in Jerusalem. And in response, the people laughed. They laughed. And we're told that only a few from the places all throughout the kingdom humbled themselves in order to come to Jerusalem to take part in the Passover. And again, people of God, King Hezekiah could have given up at this point. He had in his mind a celebration with all of God's people gathering together in festival ceremony in the city of Jerusalem at the temple. And when he saw who responded, that it was just a small trickle of people coming in from the countryside, he could have said, I was trying to do something great for all of God's people, and look, they mock my messengers. Forget about it. But King Hezekiah continued in his plans. He said, let's do this thing. Let's bring our offerings. Let's sing our songs. Let us worship God and let us keep the festival. And so they put on the festival of Passover a month late and with less people than they were expecting. They put on this festival celebrating the goodness of God and the salvation that God had given to God's people. And 2 Chronicles tells us that it was a wonderful celebration. The king himself provided all that the people needed for this wonderful festival. I think of my memories of being a kid up in Sussex, New Jersey, going to the state fair, you know, with my uncles who were dairy farmers. The state fair is wonderful, right? There's wonderful food, there's music, there's lights, there's people everywhere. It's a party, right? That's what this festival would have been like in Jerusalem, in the temple. It would have been a wonderful party with wonderful food. And the king himself provided everything that was needed for this party, for his people, who he was trying to bless with this good and true worship that he was working on reestablishing. The priests were there, they led in prayers and songs. We're told in the scriptures that it was a wonderful party. It was so good that after it was done, after 7 days of festival had come and gone, they all decided, let's do it for another 7 days. You know, everyone was having such a wonderful time that they extended the party for another week. But as they were worshiping, Hezekiah realized that something was wrong. They were a month late, less people than he was expecting, and then he realized that the people were impure. Remember how I said he was the one who opened the book of the law, dusted it off, and started reading? Well, he realized that nobody there had read the law, and they didn't realize that before you come into sacred space, you need to purify yourself. You need to do a ceremony recognizing your impurities and asking God to forgive you of those impurities before you enter sacred space. So the party's happening, and Hezekiah realizes that all of these impure people are standing in God's purified temple in Jerusalem, and they might trigger God's wrath. And so they're in danger. And so what does Hezekiah do? He gets on his knees and he prays for the people of Israel. He says, God, please forgive these impure people. They've come here to worship you. Please show them your grace and your mercy. And of course, God shows them grace and mercy. Hezekiah, he prays for the people, he intercedes, and God shows them God's grace. And so the festival continues. As I said, it goes on for 2 weeks. There's music, there's songs, there's food. People are enjoying the fellowship of being together in one another's company and offering these sacrifices to God. And at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we're told that the blessings and the prayers of this celebration, which was a month late with less people than expected, and the people weren't even ready, right? They were impure people. We're told that the blessings and the prayers reached God's heavenly sanctuary. You know, at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 30, the author tells us that it worked, you know, that this celebration reached God in heaven, and that God was pleased and happy with it. People of God, like Hezekiah's revival in Jerusalem, our worship of God isn't always what we hope and expect. And yet God accepts it and is pleased by it all the same. As I read this story this week, I realized that Hezekiah is a model for us of what Jesus has done in our lives. Jesus is our king. He is like our King Hezekiah. He has been our good King, who for us has established the right and good worship of God. Jesus has, like the king, made space for worship. Jesus has made space for worship. Hezekiah cleaned out the actual temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus has cleaned out the temples that are our hearts. Jesus, like Hezekiah, cleaning the temple of everything that doesn't belong there. Jesus is the one who cleans out our hearts, removing the lesser gods and the idols that take up residence in our hearts. Jesus has washed our hearts clean so that God's Holy Spirit can dwell in our hearts. Jesus is also the one who sends the invitation to us to come and to worship God. And it might be the case that at some times and in some places, only a few might respond to Jesus' generous invitation. But Jesus puts on the festival no matter what, and the worship of God happens all the same. And the worship that we offer, the worship that we bring before God, is good. It pleases God. It reaches God in God's heavenly sanctuary. Hezekiah prayed for his impure people. He interceded on their behalf. And Jesus is the one who intercedes on our behalf. Jesus is the one who sees us coming with our imperfections and our sins and our unholiness. And Jesus is the one who stands in heaven and intercedes on our behalf, asking God to forgive us and to accept our worship, as imperfect as it may be. And so, gathering in our practices of worship from week to week, we know and we can be confident that our songs and our ceremonies and our prayers and our words of blessings and the offerings that we bring, they reach God in God's heavenly sanctuary. And when it comes to our worship, we are confident that God is pleased. Our worship may be not perfectly on time. The response to the invitation given to come and to be a part of worship may be lackluster at times. And when we come to worship, we need intercession to be here. But just like in Hezekiah's day, what we do here in this place, what we have been doing here in this place, it is good. God loves it. It is joyful. And it pleases God, the God of heaven and earth. In Hezekiah's work of restoring the temple, the worship in Jerusalem, that first celebration of Passover was a huge success. Hezekiah is remembered as one of the greatest kings of Judah for this imperfect revival, which was a month late with a tiny amount of people, and those people were impure. Hezekiah is remembered as one of the greatest kings of Israel for this imperfect revival that he created. But that first celebration of Passover was only a starting point. There was more that happened. When the celebration was complete, those who had been there, those who had had those first 7 days of the festival and said, "This is amazing, let's do it for another 7 days," those who had been blessed by that festival and that worship time, they went out from the temple as ambassadors of the right worship of God. They took initiative. And they went back to their hometowns all over the kingdom of Israel and were told that they began to smash their idols, knock down the lesser altars and worship places that had been built to the false gods. Hezekiah had helped to show them something better, to give them something better. He had given them the true worship of the true God. And so when the people left that place, they helped to dismantle the worship of everything else that was less than the worship of the God of heaven and earth. And then they returned. They had experienced worship. They knew it was a wonderful thing. And so they came back. They came back to Jerusalem for more worship. And when they came back to the temple in Jerusalem, we're told that they brought with them their tithes and their gifts and their offerings. The people came back to Jerusalem and they said to the king, "We want to keep worshiping, and we want to make sure that worship can continue here in this place. And so we brought our gifts to contribute to the ministry of this place." The people came back to Jerusalem and they brought their resources to make sure that the good worship of God would continue. And we're told that they brought their offerings. They brought what God had given them to bring. They brought cattle from their herds, sheep from their flocks. They brought grain and oil and wine and honey and all the crops of the field. And we're told in the text that they began to place these offerings in the temple. And there were so many offerings brought over the course of several months that these offerings had to be placed in great heaps. And I love that detail and that language here in this story, that the offerings of God's were placed in heaps. And you heard me as I read it at the beginning, he just keeps on repeating it. The offerings were there and they were in great heaps. And the priest came and they put them in great heaps. And then the king came and he saw that the offerings were placed in great heaps. It's just a hilarious thing to picture in your mind, these heaps and heaps of offerings that the people brought to the temple. The king came and he looked and he saw these offerings, offerings that would help to ensure that the worship of God would continue there in Jerusalem. And the text tells us that he and the priest found that even with just a small number of people responding to the king's invitation, even with just a small number of imperfect people coming and bringing their gifts, the king saw that there was enough. And in fact, there was plenty to spare. How much grace is there in that language? There was plenty to spare. People of God, the worship of God would continue because the offerings were enough and there was plenty to spare. We are those who have known the good and the right worship of God. And we are invited to go out to be ambassadors of that good worship, to go back to the places where we reside, knowing of this wonderful, blessed thing that we call worship, to be ambassadors, to help to break down the lesser altars in our lives, to do away with the lesser worship that exists in this world, and then to return and to come worshiping God again and again and again, bringing with us the gifts and the tithes and the offerings that God has given us to share. And with God's blessings, our gifts will be enough. And with God's blessings, there will be plenty, even plenty to spare. Thanks be to God. Amen.